Welcome. This is She, and I want to thank you for joining us in this moment. Last week, we talked about forgiveness, and this moment, we are going to talk about allowing self to heal from trauma. And a couple things, we're going to walk through what trauma is and when it's caused. There's a process to this, because trauma basically means that you've been in an incident, and trauma is not just something that they use in the hospital and ER when your body's in trauma, but it's something that can happen to your emotional, physical, mental, energetic, and spiritual being. So there are times in our life that we might go through something that's so traumatic, and it comes in all shapes and sizes, and none of us are here to judge whether someone's going through something traumatic or not, or doesn't seem as bad as it's of something that you went through. Anything can throw us into trauma or shock. When this occurs, there is a process that our system goes into, which is known as fight or flight. And so in that moment, there can be a high level of adrenaline. Person may want to fight or do something harmful to another, or the individual might take flight, meaning retreat, and they're immobilized. Now, when we don't take time to heal from shock or trauma, and we're going to walk through the steps so you can identify where you might have jumped in the process, you could have something traumatic happen, and then once you get through that aspect, then you have to decide, am I going to heal this? Or sometimes people put it in a box and don't look in again, because it's scary when you go into shock or trauma. It's really a lot to digest. So tonight we're going to walk through the process. And someone just typed in that they're in trauma right now, and I just ask you to take some deep breaths, and we can assist you along the way, and I'm happy to be of service independently of anyone that's in trauma. You can reach out to me later after the show or when we have a break, and if you have questions, we'll take those later on in the show. If you are listening live, you can call in at 646-200-0069, 646-200-0069. Or you can email feedback@suzannetoro.com, or you can put it on the chat board and we'll address it as within the flow. If you are in trauma right now or recall being in trauma, we're going to go through those steps. We're going to talk about the reentry. Then we're going to have a little respite so you can have some time to breathe and listen to some music by the beautiful Donna DeLore. Then we're going to acknowledge where the road we all come to is where the pain subsided. You've either stuffed it or you've got to that point and you're ready to do some deeper healing, forgiving. And then we're going to talk about starting new and the practice that you can employ during this process. So, trauma. This can be anything, as I mentioned before. Typically, it can involve death. It can involve violent crimes. It can involve betrayal, many different things. It can involve simple things, very personal things that ignite what I call is your inner work. And that can feel so deep when someone triggers it, and they may have no idea that they've triggered a trauma that you never dealt with. So a lot of times, and that's why when we get to that point of talking about healing, if we don't heal the trauma, then what happens is throughout the rest of this lifetime and potentially others, we will be carrying that with us, and then people will accidentally ignite it and you have no idea. I see this all the time with people with abandonment issues. This can be caused for many reasons, and then people are testing your level of healing, not knowing, and it can cause you to act irrationally, do silly things, all of these things. So these are signals. So if you know that you have some emotional triggers that you can't identify from this lifetime, or you know where they're from but you're too afraid to look in, listen to this show and then see if you have the courage and are ready to dive in. So now, for those that are supporters and notice that someone's in trauma, this is really important. I'll stress this over and over again, is that when you're in trauma, you need to make sure that you do not judge the person that's in trauma, that you respect that they are in shock, they have no idea of really relating to the outside world. Try your best not to put demands on them. Give them the space to nurture them. So what I'd like to do is talk to you about the immediate need when you're in trauma. When you're in immediate trauma, you need to, one, find one or two people that can give you support, can create a safe haven for you. This is really, really important. So if you can find a safe haven, if you're in trauma, or if you notice someone's in trauma, because oftentimes they can't help themselves, a sign that when people are in shock, you will know that they are either stressed, they're looking like a deer in the headlights, they can't engage with the reality, they're having a hard time really orienting themselves to anything in life. And also what will happen, even if the pain subsides, if they don't restabilize, they will be in this space where they cannot engage with their life the same way. So that's why it's really, really important to heal the trauma, because otherwise you get real fractile. So one, find a place where you can get some help, where you know that someone can provide you a safe haven. If you see someone in trauma or stress or shock, help them get to this place. The safe place is a womb-like environment, a home, shelter. When we go to fight or flight, that's, we are at basic primal needs. We need those basic things that will keep us from knowing that we don't have to worry about our life at that moment, that we know that we have food, water, and shelter. So if you are in trauma, it's really important that you get to that safe place where you can stabilize, you know that you have those things coming in, and that you can begin to move forward. The elements that will provide stabilization during this time are the earth, is Gaia. She's all the elements, but the actual dirt, her physical being, spending time in nature will help you ground during this aspect of your stabilization period. And water. Water is very healing. We're created in water. The act of being in water helps with the healing process. It helps relax the heart center. It helps relax the sacral region. It actually stabilizes the foundational needs of food, water, and shelter. So earth and water are going to help you at this moment when you're going through all of this. Then, from there, once you feel like you have food, water, and shelter, a safe place, and one person or two that can give you the care that you need, you are going to inadvertently need to reduce interaction with family and friends. And so anyone listening that knows that someone's in trauma, really reduce the amount of interaction that you're imposing on the person that's going through a hard time. Give them the space and recommend that they take space, that they don't have to be everything to everyone. It's okay. When you've gone through these events, you need to be in solitude, which leads to silence. If you can have that time to be alone without the inputs, you are going to be that much more well-equipped to stabilize and then re-enter your life. For instance, if you can imagine someone that's been in a really horrific accident, we wouldn't put them into a highly active situation because that's going to send them deeper into shock, deeper into trauma, and not stabilize them. So the same things that you would see happening in ER when people are in critical care, where do they have them? In isolation. They don't have many visitors. They get them so their whole body can be stabilized. If you've gone through trauma, a deep, powerful event, if you've been in service in a traumatic event, you need to take this time to stabilize. You need to go in ICU, limited interaction. The more energy fields we have coming at us, the more difficult it is for us going to be able to process, heal, and stabilize. So this is our immediate need when we're going through this trauma. Again, I'll state it, one or two people to give you care, a safe place to be, food, water, and shelter, reduce the interaction with family and friends, bring in the elements of earth and water, and find time to remain, if you're pretty much in isolation, silence and solitude, with one or two trusted supporters that you can touch base with. Again, you'll see this when people go into rehab, they isolate them. There's a reason for this. So this is no different if you had a traumatic day that you take time to put yourself in your own ICU and then come back out into the world. And you can be equipped. You can know when you're going through such an intense period and you feel like you're grabbing for everything around you. You're trying to fill up on alcohol, drugs, media, all these different things. Take a time out and realize that you need to stop the input. You need to sit down and just be alone. This is the only way. I can tell you that this is a practice that I've employed several times in my lifetime, and it has been the saving grace to allow me a smooth reentry into the world. Now, we'll talk about the reentry. When you are ready, and only when you're ready, you don't need friends or family telling you, come on, you got to get out back in the world. You really need to feel it. You need to feel stable. They don't send you out of ICU just because your mom or dad or sister or brother decides that it's time to take you home. They don't do that. They make sure all your vital signs are stable, that you're strong enough, and that you can go. The same thing, emotional distress, whatever it may be, you want to make sure that you feel stable, that you can walk on your own two legs, or that you can move yourself back into the real world and are ready to engage. And this will be a testing, you know, this emergence period, this re-entry period. Two things happens. As you start to re-enter, you're going to have to check. And if you're not quite ready, you're just going to need to let people know, I'm taking baby steps and I can't engage. And you will have to slowly assimilate to your life and your new perspective of your life. Any traumatic event is going to change your worldview. You cannot go back to where you were before. There's no possible way. So the sooner you surrender to that, the faster you will be, again, at assimilating to your new life, your new worldview, the new way of being. So as we emerge, this is actually when we are even able to start healing. When we're in solitude, we're stabilizing. We're potentially, depending on the trauma and what happened, you could have done some extensive healing during that period. But really, once you start engaging the world, you can have a better sense of how much more healing there is to do. And it goes in layers. A lot of times we want to push through it all, and that's just not possible. Sometimes you have so much that you have to digest that you need to take it in small bites and small portions. Do a little, take a break. Do a little, take a break. Digest it, embody it. So first, you have to face the mundane, getting back into your world, facing all these things that may not seem like they have significance to you anymore, but that you have to address. So getting stable at paying your bills, at making changes to your physical life that are now in immemorant, so if you've had a death and someone's passed on, that you have to move their belongings out of the home. Different things like that that are going to take steps. So So you begin to face the mundane and get back in the world. Simple things like going to the supermarket or actually physically seeing your community of friends can be traumatic because all of a sudden your life isn't the same anymore. Maybe you're missing someone. Maybe something happened to you that you can't even relate to people the same way. You're not even the same person. So as you reemerge, you want to take steps. And if you're not ready to face certain communities or friends, or you realize that certain people you're probably not going to ever re-interact with, that's okay. You don't have to take that all on. Just take it one step at a time. So emerge, face the mundane, take baby steps, and then find safe communities that can also relate to what you've gone through or that inspire you to maybe connect with something else that will get your mind off of what happened before. Sometimes things can happen in an aspect of our life. Maybe you were a race car driver, you had a huge accident, and you really don't think that you're going to be engaging in that world again, then understand that that's okay, and you don't have to go out to the racetracks right away or ever again if you choose not to. Sometimes these things happen because there's a whole disconnect of what's occurred, and you are to move on to something next. As you re-enter and start to find your footing in your world again or your new world, you will want to create still that cave or that safe haven for you to return to retreat, solitude. You want to have this consistent place that you can go to, because all this time that you've been in shock, trauma, ICU, and then you're back out in the world again, it's a lot to handle. So you need to have a space where you can still recover. Anyone that's had major surgery, you could have a 6-month recovery time. You could have a year recovery time. So the same thing goes with emotional distress, energetic distress. Any of those types of traumas are no different than physical trauma, and they can take sometimes a year, 2 years, 3 years to recover from. So you want to make sure that you have a consistent place to retreat to, solitude, where you can regain your energy and go back out into the world. This is also where it's time to get active help from others to begin your healing process. So you can employ some techniques that I've shared with you on other episodes, but also finding someone energetically that resonates with you, that can give you a sounding board, can help you through the process of healing the trauma. It's really important, because just because you're out in the real world and you're not feeling like you're in shock, you're not in ICU, doesn't mean that you have dealt with the throes and the pain and the suffering that you just walked through. So it's really important you decide where you'd like to get some assistance, some help in the healing process. If you're equipped to do it yourself, then you'll know what to do. But otherwise, reach out. Reach out to someone that resonates with you and start that process again at your own pace. During this reentry period, again, it's really important that you make sure that you have food, water, and shelter. So if something so traumatic's happened that you can't take care of yourself economically, you aren't able to actually even function with job or anything like that, that's why they have disability. If you have family members that can help, this is really important, because if you're stressed about earning money or all these other things, that could send you further into a mental anxiety that will not help engage you in healing. So it may require that you move someplace else where maybe you have free room and board, or that you need to go rent a room versus a whole home. You make adjustments to your lifestyle so you can heal. Again, this is the biggest favor that you can do for yourself and society, to take the time to properly heal. There's nothing more important in my book than we'll have a lot less people on pharmacology and a lot happier people that are living authentic lives. So, and then finally, this is a time where you can engage with nature. And nature is this great resource to help remove our pains, our sorrow, our trials, our tribulations, and to keep us honest. So you can employ Mother Nature to help you during this process. So I'm going to go through the steps. I'm going to share a story, and then we're going to dive into Donna DeLore. She has this beautiful song that really takes us, I've employed the mantra in healing processes before, and it's really powerful. So you're going to emerge, you're going to begin to face the mundane, take baby steps, and find your safe communities where it feels okay to reemerge. Sometimes they're new communities. Create a safe retreat to stay in solitude with. Then begin to activate the healing process, finding someone that can help you heal and make peace with the trauma. Make sure that you have food, water, and shelter, and then engage with Mother Nature. Beautiful, beautiful way to heal. We've talked about in other episodes, laying on the earth, engaging with the sun, the stars. All of this can give us clarity and just peel stuff away from us that we don't even have to intellectually decide that we're over. A friend of mine, his name is Joe, and he served as a medic in Vietnam, and he came back from Vietnam very angry, and everyone hating him at the same time, and so he had to digest a lot. Here he was, quote-unquote, serving overseas, comes back, he's receiving a lot of animosity, and he was angry himself at everything he had went through. He was in a trauma. So what he did is he and his family up to Alaska, and they lived off the land. He built 4 log cabins. He actually had to he didn't even have a floor in these cabins. They had he had hunt down animals to give them skins to keep them warm, and he said that was the best thing for him because Alaska's, he said, that nature is so intense. It's a great way for one to deal with his anger, and really humbled him. And this guy, Joe, he is, 6'5", this big giant, he calls himself the Crystal Sailor. That whole experience traversed him into his next step of phase of life. And then even when that came to a closure, he was able to traverse back down into North America and reestablish his life there. A really profound way for someone to just surrender to the healing process, but not really subscribing to anything other than nature itself and learning how to survive off the land. So right now, we're going to dive into Donna DeLory. She has this song. It's called In the Sun, and she uses the mantra of Om Mene Padme Hum. This is something that I have employed in my meditation practice, but also a healing practice. It's a great way to welcome in love, compassion, protection, and forgiveness. So just connect with her words, reflect on that which you're ready to heal, that which you are healing, or allow it to wash over you if you're actually physically going through trauma right now. Being caught in between all you wish. In the Sun by Donna DeLore. And it's a great mantra if you're going through a healing practice, trying to ground or bring yourself to center and not deflect everything that has occurred to you onto someone else, to say the mantra, Om Mene Padme Hum. So as I mentioned before we dove into her music was that we, as we re-enter and we begin to recognize that it's time to re-enter the world and that we're ready to go through the healing process, what one of two things can happen. We can re-enter and stuff that traumatic thing in a box, and it will fester. It can manifest and happen over and over. We might have dreams about it. We might have nightmares about it. We may never be able to sleep right again because we don't allow ourselves to heal those wounds. And it takes time and space. There's no instantaneous thing that can happen. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes there's an instantaneous just relief mechanism so you don't combust. But ultimately, these things need to be addressed and let go. If we take the time in the lifetime that it occurred, then you'll have greater possibility of not carrying this over to another lifetime. In addition, you will live a healthier life because you won't be having relationships based on the experience that happened. So I can share from my own personal experience of going through a different series of events that when we go through those traumas, we have these funny ways of keeping ourselves safe from dealing with what is causing us emotional anguish, or we have actions that are in our highest and best. As I mentioned before, if you reach for alcohol, drugs, sex, shopping, overconsumption of media, all these different things, you're just creating a band-aid and creating more stuff that you're going to have to reconcile because it's not done mindfully. It's done to try to fill yourself up, as I say. So when we're in a very destructive, self-destructive mode, we're tending to be trying to heal a wound or a trauma or something that's happened to us, and we're just overindulging until we get to the point of our brink, and then we say, okay, we got to stop this, and we need to address what I'm trying to fill up. Typically, the person is healing a wound or pain and just cannot get a grip, so they are reaching out for anything and everything that will try to fill them up. So even if you can intellectually say I'm over it, but you're, you know, doing participating in destructive behaviors, this is why. And then these behaviors can get so exasperated that they can turn into what would be considered a crime. And then we become the perpetrator because we haven't dealt with our nightmares. So, meaning the nightmares, the trauma. So once you're at this point where you've either put everything in a box or you remember that you put everything in a box but you never dealt with it, and you feel like the pain is gone, meaning that you're not in ICU anymore, you've made your way back out into the real, quote-unquote, real world, and you found stabilization, but you're like, whoa, feeling stable, feeling pretty good, but I know I didn't deal with that, and I got to deal with that at some point. So you need to prepare yourself to do that, and what are you going to do? So first, you need to digest what happened and let go. If it's still happening, if the violation or whatever is causing you trauma is still happening, you need to take steps to make sure that it stops. But first, once that has happened and you've reached the stabilization period, you need to digest what happened and then let go of the memories, the pain, the suffering. There's a lot of techniques out there that can help you with this release of these traumatic events and really release them, not just sort of, like really release them. Then once you've gone through that release process, and you'll know you've gone through the release because you'll no longer have an emotional ignition on it. And this can go in layers. You can get rid of one layer and then another and then another, and that's okay. Just know that you you will get rid of what you can handle, get rid of, and then if there's another layer, it'll come up when it needs to, and you'll be able to release it. Once you're committed to living a holistic, healthy life, you will have the strength and the power to do this and the opportunity to do this. You just need to surrender. So digest what happened, let go of the memories the best you can, and also, at this time, when you are letting go, you'll start to make peace with yourself and the incident. Now, what we talked about last week is very key, and this is a factor that you'll know that you've made peace, is that you reach a level of forgiveness, first for self and for others. As I mentioned last week, when something really, really life-altering happens to us, that inadvertently we go through a process where we're going to have to forgive ourselves because we somehow became a part of the equation of what happened, and we have to reconcile it. So since you were there, it might have happened, you couldn't stop something, whatever it may be, there's that reconciliation period. So this is about saying to yourself, I'm sorry, saying to someone else, I forgive you. Now, over the past so many years, there's been some books, mainstream books, written about something that comes from the Pacific Islands called Ho'oponopono. And this is a process of forgiveness, of reconciliation. And this is what is known as make it right, because what the islanders believed, if you held this animosity, if you held this anger or this pain, that it was going to make you or someone else sick. And that by holding that energy and that resentment in, that you cannot move forward without impacting other people. And this is really a beautiful teaching, and has been adapted in many different ways and has many different meanings. So one of the mainstream ones that people might be able to have connected with or known is that they'll talk about the Ho'oponopono as basically a statement of saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I'm doing it in the wrong order. It's please forgive me, I'm sorry, I love you, and thank you. That's been a translation. From the indigenous, this really is a gesture. It's translated more into reconciliation and forgiveness. And that reconciliation ties into the part of telling someone you love them, making peace, thanking them for the teaching and the lesson, apologizing to yourself, and forgiving them. So this process will release you of the traumatic event and release the individuals. Oftentimes you might hear people saying that I can never forgive someone. What they did to me is not forgivable. Well, all you're doing is compartmentalizing energy and holding it hostage. And it's that incident then is bound to you and bound to the person that perpetrated you, bound to you and the person that violated. So if you don't really want to stay connected to the incident and the people that were a part of the incident, then it's really important to go through this reconciliation and forgiveness process. So that is a choice, but this is one clear way of knowing that you've actually moved through the process of forgiveness and are ready to move forward and take the medicine and the journey and allow that wisdom to come through you in other ways. Once we get to this point of reconciliation and forgiveness, a level of compassion comes in, not only for ourselves, but for other people that might have to walk through a similar situation. We start to see things a little bit differently. We start to realize that, hey, if you were violated, the person that's violating you has gone through something and become so exasperated that their healing never took place, and now their pain has turned into a crime. So if you've been violated, if someone in your family's been violated, understand that those individuals are so exasperated and never did any healing that now they're perpetrating someone else. So the process of you letting go helps also ensure and making peace that you don't allow your anger, your fear, your open wounds to turn into a crime in the future, in this life or another lifetime. So this alone is incentive to make peace, to surrender, to let go, not hold on to grudges. They're not healthy. They keep you bound to the people that, quote unquote, you may not love or like. Then the next aspect of when you're ready to go through this healing process is, again, make sure you have that sanctuary, that healing space, so that you can go through this healing process. It can take years. I'm not going to be promising an instantaneous forgiveness, compassion process. This is a step-by-step process, and we are living in a 3D density that is about emotions, and it's tactile, and there's senses involved, meaning that it's a little bit more arduous. If you spend time in solitude in a cave or out in nature, you're going to reach your epiphany about the situation a lot faster. It's going to melt away a lot faster, but that's not possible for all of us. So again, as you're ready to address what has happened or address something that you stuffed away a long time ago, you're not feeling any more pain. One, you need to digest what happened and start letting go of the memories and the drama. And number two, start to make peace with yourself and the incidents. Go through what will take some time, a forgiveness process. Don't rush to forgive someone because you don't want to feel the pain. You will know when you're ready to authentically forgive someone because you're at peace with it. And then from there, you will find the space. And continue to go through that healing process. If you can, I'm sorry. I will do my best. I don't know how to do that. Someone's asking me to clear the screen. I don't know how to do that. I apologize. Let me see if I can delete it. Sorry. Okay, so we're going through the process of, if you know how to do that, please tell me, and I will do that for you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to end the chat and then go back to it. Maybe that will help. Okay, so I'm going to go in. I'm sorry. I'm trying to help someone that was typing some things to me, clearing the screen, and I can't do that. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is I want you to write down the trauma that you're ready to heal, that you're moving through, and really acknowledge what you're ready to get rid of. Once you do that, you will start to recognize what you want to make peace with, what you want to move through, and what you want to go through. So write down what you're really, the one incident that you're really ready to make peace with. Digest what happened, let go of the drama, make peace with self and the incidents, and start to go through the forgiveness process, the reconciliation process, so that you can get rid of all that has happened to you. So from there, we are going to talk about starting new. And as you write this down, I'm going to give you a few minutes to write this down, and then we're going to dive into starting new. As you're writing, I'm just going to play a couple-minute song called Inner Prisms, just to ground and really define what is happening for you and what you're ready to heal and let go of. And then we're going to talk about how you can start new. So just write down the thing that you've either compartmentalized, why you're ready to let go, that you're open to forgiveness, compassion of others, and then I'll be right back and we'll dive into how to start new, the practice, and how to move forward.
It's been a long time coming. It's been a long time coming. It's been a long time coming, but it still ain't here. It's been a long time coming, but it still ain't here. I can feel it round the bend. I can feel it round.
Any and all of you that are courageous enough to look at anything that's traumatic that's happened to you and being open to healing it. We have a lot of culmination of dis-ease on this planet. And so this will allow you to open yourself to refining self and at least at minimum clearing your own energetic system, your emotional system, and so on and so forth. So this is what I would like to start with, is that you've gone through this process. You've gone through the trauma. You've gained stabilization in ICU. Then you've re-entered the world, and that re-entry process is finding your feet, finding your way, your new communities, and connecting with those that can help you through the healing process. Then once you come out, then you, of that process, you're ready to engage into a deeper level of healing. And this is where, as I just mentioned, you digest what happened, you make peace with the incident, you find a level of forgiveness and compassion, and the space to hold this all in so that you can go through that healing process, and then you're ready to start new. Now, during that phase that I just described, doesn't mean that your life isn't going on, doesn't mean that you can't work and you can't be inspired and find joy and all these things. It means that you can do those things, but just do them in moderation so that you make sure that you're not continuing with unhealthy behaviors and or putting yourself in vulnerable positions. So when you've digested everything and you're at an authentic place of forgiveness, you've authentically healed and you realize like, wow, now I can really start engaging in life. And how do I want to do that? And what have I been doing? And do I need to make further adjustments? So understand that, one, there's no going back in the sense. Now, you may have other people from your past still present in your life, and that's okay. Those relationships more than likely have metamorphosed, and you might realize something about someone that was in your life and that now it's time for you to birth something new with them, or that you didn't see them the way that you did before. Whatever it may be, it'll be very obvious to you what your next steps are. So know that you can't go back to the life the way it was, but you can present yourself and start birthing something new. When you're in this process and you've let go and you understand that your support system is in an interesting position, depending how long this process has taken, that your support system that was with you during potentially the trauma and the incident might have to realize that they need to let go, that they need to let go of you, they need to let go of the relationship that you had, and so much so that they completely release you, allow you to find your way, and then see if you return. And maybe you're going to revisit a relationship or friendship or family members, but sometimes the trauma is so intense that it's hard to be around those people that were there when the trauma happened. You don't want to see the person that was there helping you when maybe your father or mother passed, that you need space from that because that keeps triggering you to the trauma. So people that if you were in those roles that you were there to support during something traumatic, be respectful that it's not you. It's just that they can't face you, that they have no way of relating to you until they heal to a certain level. And then once they've healed, they more than likely will be able to reapproach you, or the relationship will totally be gone forever, and that's okay. This happens a lot in death, that the death occurs and it completely obliterates all relationships, and everyone has to refine their way with each other because we're all on our own healing schedule, and sometimes there's ill will, all these different things. So be sensitive to each other, and just this is a great way for you to practice unconditional love, to know that someone went through something pretty horrific or many horrific things. They're doing the best they can, and they just may not be able to be friends with you anymore, or they may not be able to be your partner anymore, all those different things. And it's not necessarily about you. It could be, but maybe it's not. Then when you're ready to start anew and you're ready to really start flying again, moving through life where you're not having to be so actively healing, make sure that you have your system set down that if any pain returns, that you know what to do. You have your mechanisms, you have your tools so you can return to retreat. You'll be able to process pain faster, and you'll be able to keep moving forward. And it's nothing you can plan for. Sometimes these things just happen and they trigger something in us that you had no idea that it was going to happen. Be gentle with yourself. It may take just a day taking a time out, and you have to be sad for the day, or you need to be angry for the day, and then you can move back on. So when you're ready to start new, you remember that you can't go back, that it's time to move forward, let go of relationships that aren't going to serve, that are too painful to have right now. Those of you that are in the support community, be respectful that that's just what they need to do to cope, to stay stable, and so they don't go back into ICU. And then when you go from there, you can reemerge and create that safe haven. So the practice for you when you're dealing with this trauma is that you are going to go through this phase process, and it could go on for some time, but you'll go through the phase process, getting stabilized, you'll re-enter, find your footing, find your path to healing, just getting rid of another layer of the pain. Then once you're completely rid of pain, meaning that you don't feel it anymore, you're not ignited, then you can start to digest and heal from the incident, invoke forgiveness, invoke compassion, reconciliation, and start reemerging again into the world where you're going to start anew. At this point in time, during all of this process, as mentioned, you can employ nature. Mother Nature is a great tool to help us through healing. It's afforded to all of us, every person on this planet. So even if you don't have access to any other kind of care, this is how it goes. First, trauma. Welcome in water and the earth, the physical ground to ground you, trees, and the element of wood. So water, wood, earth, the minerals, the crystals, all of that's going to help balance you. Once you're through that phase of coming out of trauma, sometimes there's anger and you're needing some nourishment. Bring in the element of water again. Let that water hold you and also cool any fire that starts to rise. Once the anger is released and you are ready to clear the heart, bring in love and compassion, allow that fire energy, your inner life force, your prana, to give you momentum and clear the heart and welcome in the air. That air also comes through the element of wood too, and as you welcome in the air through the heart, you're going to notice that your voice is able to return. You can share with the world who you are and what you are and what has happened if you choose to, or you can just reassimilate your new life. And so yes, to clear the heart, bring in the air, the breath is this beautiful tool and mechanism to clear. And then as this happens, as you have your voice and your heart clears, you will notice that your worldview has changed. You'll have a better idea of how you can serve self and others with the compassion and the love and the point of mastery over this incident that has happened. The other practice, other than welcoming in the elements in nature, is to bring in silence, to bring in solitude. And this is something that will help you through the entire healing process of trauma, meditation. There's nothing better in my book than Mother Nature, breathing, and silence. Silence is golden. So, and remember that less is more. When we're moving through trauma, less is more. Reflect back to anyone that you've known, or if you've been in ICU, there's a reason they have it as isolation. There's a reason for that. So connect with that. Move beyond the incident through these mechanisms, through earth, sound, silence, solitude, and sound meaning vibrational sound. And remember to simplify. So in the end, you will have done yourself a favor. You will have done your entire world around you a favor by making peace with anything that has occurred so that you can live a joyful life. And you don't have to take this with you when you go into the next lifetime or wherever you in your mind's eye know that you'll be going. So I thank each and every one of you for taking time to listen to this episode about trauma, healing trauma. For those of you that loved Donna DeLore, please support the arts and connect with her music at donnadelore.com, or you can Google it. The song was In the Sun, and the mantra is Om Mene Padme Hum. And until next time, this is she signing out with a deep bow, a soft gaze, a full heart, and a namaste.